Hey, Wildcats. Okay, when you talk about movies and your opinions on movies and TV shows on the internet, you have to accept that quite often people are just going to disagree with what you say and they're going to get annoyed about the opinions you have. So we thought, why is...
I disagree with you here, Mike. everyone agrees on everything.
So we thought, why not just lean into it and we're just going to talk about Star Wars? Because why not?
Everyone has a different... Oh, my God. Star Wars.
Yeah. I'm your host, Mike. Today I'm joined by Reese and Jack. And we're going to start. We're going to go through in order. It's going to be a lot of episodes. We're going to start with just the prequels today. And we'll get into everything else later on.
Starting off with the best ones. Yeah.
We can only go down. Maybe the most iconic. Who knows?
Yeah. The most well known.
I think before we talk about the films individually, let's get an idea of, like, what are your guys' relationships with Star Wars? Like, how did it come to be? Would you call yourself a big fan? Is it something you've always watched, or is it a recent thing for you?
So my dad introduced me to Star Wars when I was, like, very young. I don't remember a part of my life where Star Wars wasn't a part of it. Actually, I must have been so young, I don't actually remember the first time I watched Star Wars. Because there always was Star Wars. And as a kid, you know, when I was growing up, that's probably when the prequels were being released. I was maybe a little too young when they first came out. There was like, what is it, like 90, 95, 97? When was the... 99. Okay, so I was two, so I probably, you know, wasn't really that involved with when they first released. But my dad showed them to me, and, you know, as a kid, Roger, Roger, boom, boom, lightsaber, glowy stick. You didn't really care about much else. So I love the prequels growing up. And I thought, you know, the originals were old films. I was like, you know, these look old and rubbish. So I wasn't that interested. And then growing up into a teenager and an adult, and you rewatch these films, you're like, okay, right, my opinion is kind of switched over a bit now. But yeah, like, I played Lego Star Wars. Actually, all the Lego I owned was all Star Wars Lego.
Nice.
I don't own any other Lego. I've made Lego Star Wars, stop motion animations in my childhood. That was like what I did with my spare time. So it was always Star Wars. So I love Star Wars. I think as I've gotten older, my love for Star Wars has actually gone down and gone up. Especially with it being purchased by Disney, I think some of their stuff is great. The shows are better than the films, apart from a recent show that wasn't very good. But I still like Star Wars, and I'm still going to watch Star Wars content that comes out.
What about you, Reese?
Yeah, I would classify myself a big fan of Star Wars from a very young age. I remember like someone in school. I must have been like year three, year four. Someone talking about Yoda, and I was like, "What the hell's that?" And then I had like Return of the Jedi on VHS, and then watching it, I'm like, "Oh, I get this." And like, I not like all the themes going on, but like I was blown away by Return of the Jedi as a kid. And then obviously the Lego games were probably the thing I grew up mostly like that grew my knowledge of Star Wars the most, playing the prequels on PS2, Star Wars Battlefront. And I remember one of the first times I went to the cinema, I remember I was going to see Revenge of the Sith with my dad and my next door neighbor. And I was like, whoa, this is amazing. Like seeing all the Mustafar stuff for the first time. And since then, I've been quite embedded in science fiction and fantasy all my life, and I think it's very difficult to be embedded in that world or in that, like, have an interest in it and avoid Star Wars. I'm quite an obsessive fan when it comes to everything I watch. So like I sort of go through like cycles. Like I'll obsess about Lord of the Rings for ages, and I'll go really deep into like reading about that. I mean, recently, as soon as that trailer for the new show came out. Not looking forward to the show, but it just unleashed somebody in me to go, right, no, I need to go and read all this and finish Tales again, and I need to get my history of Middle-earth books out. I sort of go through the same thing with Star Wars. I've read a lot of like stuff like Vader's Quest and Dawn of the Jedi and Tales from Jabba's Palace, you know, Edge of Victory, a lot of the extended media stuff, because I have it lying around in my, you know, in my bedroom.
You've just unlocked a memory for me, Reese, that I haven't thought about for a long time.
What now?
And it's it was Star Wars like comic strips.
Yeah.
And I had like I completely forgot about those. I was obsessed with
them. And it's sort of like the bit of Star Wars I like the most, I'd say. I really like it when, because I don't think that the Star Wars universe as a whole is a particularly brilliantly built world, right? You have Nazis against rebels. That's the base, and you have wizards that help the good guys, and a really evil wizard that helps the bad guys or runs the bad guys. Like, there's not much to it. It just happens to be in space. But then I like it, like someone comes along and they write their own story that sort of fits into it.
Well, that's what I do like about the Star Wars universe. It's so many different types of stories that you can just like.
Yeah, but my problem with it is that I do not believe that the people who have ever owned it, I mean, or have ever made official films and stuff, have the best interest of story making at heart. I do think it's a franchise that is primed to take money from you. I mean, the best thing that George Lucas did with the original trilogy was the toys. Like, that was the genius behind Star Wars, not the actual film, because all the genius of the actual film came from other people, Gary Kurtz and the people who founded ILM and Marcia Lucas. Yeah, it's just building the films themselves. You look at the prequels. You have loads of people groveling to George Lucas about look at what we get out. Like, so I have a mixed relationship with Star Wars now. Like, I wish that it was more. If there was going to be more stuff, I wish it was more ambitious and out there. I saw Visions as sort of what they should be doing, telling stories within the universe that are unique and yet has this sort of like good v bad, because I always saw it as, I don't know, it's just me, and that's why I was disappointed with the later ones, is that I think they got the themes wrong. I thought that, yeah, that the Force is this natural thing that you can't stop, like it's part of the universe, and sometimes it's good and sometimes it's dark, like it's like a cycle thing. And and you look at like the Knights of the Old Republic, it's like they had exactly the same threats in it, like 2,000 years before we meet our main protagonists. And it's like, no, these things like happen over and over again. It's like human history, where there's always a war because people, it doesn't matter how good the peace is, and eventually people are going to get greedy and want to kill other people for more stuff. So that's why I've always wanted to get out of Star Wars, that there's this inevitability that there's going to be a good v evil battle.
I'm the same as you, Jack. Like, literally, I cannot remember when I first watched Star Wars. Like, I feel like it's just been like there my whole life. I can't get enough of Star Wars. I bloody love it. Just my whole life, just I've wanted to keep watching Star Wars, and I want to watch as much Star Wars as I can. I've got to get as much Star Wars in as possible. I play the Lego games.
Would you like, something I remember doing as a kid is, like, I didn't have a lot of, like, apart from the Lego, like, Star Wars toys. I think at one point I had, like, a lightsaber handle, and it had like a blade that would fling out into like different like layers. I had that, and I would just like jump up and off my bed and like just pretend I'm flinging a sword around.
If you ever wrap Christmas presents, you end the wrapping paper, what are you left with?
A lightsaber. My love for Star Wars has never changed, because I've always like watched it and loved it. It's like the ways I appreciate Star Wars have sort of changed over time. Like, as a kid, I loved the prequels because they're the big, like, big, massive ones with all the colours. Then, like, I got into, like, my teens, and I was like, oh, the prequels suck. And then, like, I got into my 20s, and I was like, actually, I really like the prequels. So, like, I keep turning around. Like, my favourite character lists just, like, change massively. Like, if you had told me, like, 5 years ago that I would have Lando in my top 10 characters, I just wouldn't have believed you, but now he's there. Because it's just, like, the ways I, like, appreciate Star Wars, like, change. And, like, as a kid, I looked at Yoda as like, oh, he's one of my favorite characters because he's the funny little green puppet man. And I look at Yoda as one of my favorites. It's like, it's Yoda. Like he's this ancient warrior who's also like this super wise, like alien, who's like just such a constant in the universe. And I love that it's like, there's one narrative at the heart of Star Wars, and it's the Skywalker like bloodline and like how they've affected the universe. But I love that there's so many like characters surrounding them, and so many planets and so many worlds and so many stories that all tie in. And like you look at like you pick any like random side story, like Boba Fett and Cad Bane, their history. Like it's so detached from the rest, but like it still ties in.
And I'll say this now: my main problem with Star Wars is that I do feel it's quite hollow because of the gaps between the stuff made, and particularly like the dredging that happened like 10 years ago when they were bought by Disney. I understand the clean slate, but it suddenly became quite a here are the things that are officially Star Wars, and here's the other things.
No, I wasn't happy about that, but I don't mind the way they did it. It was like, this is Star Wars Legends. These are legends that the characters in the universe tell, and like, so we can still bring the stuff in. The Mandalorian is the most proper Star Wars since the 70s. The Phantom Menace, which Weird Al managed to sum up the plot of in a 5-minute song without cutting out anything.
Yeah, because nothing happens in the first 40 minutes.
I like this movie, but it's my least favorite Star Wars film because it's like it's got a lot I like. I like the locations. I think some of the action is pretty solid. I think a lot of the characters work. I think Padme's solid. I think Kid Anakin is okay. Qui-Gon's very cool. I think the Jedi Council are very cool. But I've got no clue what the plot is, which has been my whole life. I have no idea what the story is.
The taxation of trade routes to outlying star systems is in dispute. Taxation. It's in dispute. Yeah. What are we going to do?
But I've got no idea what the rest of the movie is. Like, they go to Naboo.
Some rich
to
people are
it.
Losing money.
Then they leave Naboo and go to Tatooine. Then they go to Coruscant. Then they go back to Naboo and go back to the plot. And every time I watch this film, like, they just go into, like, they go to the scenes where the characters are talking about the plot, and I'm like, I've got no clue what you're
but
about.
But
go back to the Jedi.
The greedy Trade Federation has stopped all shipping. Imagine if Amazon like, stopped all shipping.
They talk about Chancellor Valorum so many times in this movie.
Who?
I could not tell you who he is. He was important character, and I couldn't even point him out to you in a lineup.
But the Congress of the Republic endlessly debates the alarming chain of events. Alarming!
I was talking to James about Star Wars the other day, my friend James. And
I know James.
And he said to me, what he finds the most funny about Star Wars is in right at the start of episode 4, you know, A New Hope, very first Star Wars film, it's said that Tatooine is the worst place ever. It's a barren desert that sucks. And Star Wars just keeps going there.
Even though this movie sort of gets it. Like, Book of Boba Fett didn't get it. But this movie sort of gets it. Like, the first act of Star Wars is Luke wants to leave Tatooine because it's awful. At least in this movie, when they're on Tatooine, everything they're doing is, like, with the intention of leaving. Like they don't want to be there.
My main problem with this film is that
it's quite boring.
No, is that I don't understand... Why did they pick a film? Why did they go all the way back, long before the Clone Wars? Qui-Gon Jinn is such a bad main character. He literally spends the entire time ruining everything. He's unengaging. He should have been Obi-Wan. Who the fuck's this Qui-Gon Jinn guy? Why isn't Obi-Wan in it more?
Why isn't
it Obi-Wan?
Hayden
Christensen was 18 when this film came out. Why isn't he older in this? I don't understand, right? If they wanted to highlight he's too old to start Jedi training, make him much older. Why is 9 the cutoff? Like, I hate the Jedi in this. They kill them. They are a religious cult that kidnap children to join their cult.
Yeah, but that's sort of what like this trilogy is about, right? Is that the Jedi actually suck and that's their downfall?
Yeah, they've lost the way of the Force, I guess. And I think Qui-Gon is meant to be like he's more original and like his thoughts and philosophies are actually more in terms of like how the Force should be used.
He cheats at the betting.
Like, it's a balance. But the Jedi like,
mind tricks don't work.
Good force is good,
only
and that's...
money.
Also, they go to the first vendor. Have you got the engine?
The
oh, we won't take Republic credits. Go somewhere else and change your Republic credits. You can exchange money. I'm sure there are people there who will sell you. He's a backbench. He's like, oh, I'm a back market. Just go to the mainstream. So I'm going to go over there and buy one then. I just hate the setup of this film. I think from moment one, I can't stand the Jedi. And I can't stand our main characters. And then they add an even worse main character. And then an annoying kid who hits on someone who's like 6-7 years older than him.
Are you an angel?
And then they end up marrying.
Yeah, you're right. They should have started him older. Like, I don't see why they start him this young. And also, like, this movie spends so long on Tatooine, and the only reason they go there is to find Anakin. But Anakin doesn't really have to be from there, does he? Like, why couldn't he have just been from Coruscant or Naboo and had that be where most of the movie is?
Yeah.
Like, you don't really need the Tatooine stuff in this film. Even, like, the Tatooine stretch is the weakest for me. The Naboo stuff, the Coruscant stuff, and the back to Naboo stuff, I don't mind. But the Tatooine stuff is like, can we get on with it? Though I want to watch the movie. Like, even the pod racing, like, isn't great. It goes on forever.
It's fine on its own, and it made a very good PS1 game. I think, might I add.
I think the Tatooine stuff is better than the Coruscant stuff.
It's all the same problem, Jack.
Yeah, nothing happens in the film. This is right until right the end.
Because they've forgotten to put any action in the start of the opening hour of the film. They have 5 action scenes going on at the same time at the end. There's 5 different fights going on, none of which line up, and they just take the tension out of all of it. Like, you've got the Gungans, right, who get drawn out. Why are the droids attacking them? They're literally stood under a shield. The best thing the droids can do is literally just stay on the top of the hill. Or just go back. What are the Gungans going to do to the Thie? They're not going to get in. And then you've got the space battle, which... The worst space battle of the films. Then you've got Duel of the Fates, which is good, except they keep cutting away from it to go to Princess Amidala trying to get up a window. It's just like, pick one.
That song.
Which one now? Duel of the Fates. It just goes on and on and on.
Because I think, I can't remember what that point was going to be. That's this film, isn't it? I can't bloody remember it. This movie does introduce things, though, because the prequels have some awesome things in there that are done better in the sequels when we're actually focusing on the plot of the prequels, like the Clone Wars and the clones and the Sith versus Jedi stuff.
You're on about the midichlorians.
But I'm not talking about the midichlorians. It didn't introduce the midichlorians, to be fair. They're in a book long before this. It introduces some cool things. It introduces Palpatine, who's great. He's the best part of this trilogy. It introduces... I'm out of things.
Sorry, did you say
I've run out.
Sorry, did you say Palpatine?
Dual lightsabers.
He was in the original trilogy. You might
but introduces him as the normal dude.
He's a clone.
Mike,
I think you find he's a chancellor. I think you find he's a clone, and he's actually on whatever it's called from what's it called? Exegol.
What's really annoying about the lore around this film is you've got the whole stuff with Plagueis Palpatine's master that you is discovered in the legends and stuff, which sounds
you want to watch you don't even meet impregnate him. A woman with the Force, is that what you're saying? That's a very Roger Corman idea.
Roger Corman.
I'm talking more about the betrayal and how Palpatine kills him.
Less of the impregnating.
Battle droids are great. Very funny. I love that you can look in the background and they're just having some weird slapstick comedy routine in the back all the time. They're great. Roger, roger. I think John Williams' music is as good as ever. It's really good. I think that...
Jar Jar Binks, incredible character.
I think the world of the prequels is better than this film. And I think just being in that world is great. But all the more interesting stuff of that era happens in about 10 years after this.
Yeah, so why are they here?
So why are we here? Because, the Phantom Edit, the only part of this movie is that makes it in is Darth Maul killing Qui-Gon. Darth Maul.
Yeah.
Darth Maul is cool.
But he's not a character.
He doesn't do that much, does he?
Yeah, he's not in this film, he's not a character,
I mean,
is he?
At least he's a villain that isn't a racist stereotype. There's that. Yeah,
unlike everyone else in this.
Hey, Watto.
I remember one of my favourite movie fights moments. Not the real movie fights, the movie fights that me and Reese and some of our friends used to do. Was when it was me versus Sammy versus our friend Chris. And we were picked, if you had to pick a Star Wars character to win the Hunger Games, who would you choose? And Sammy hadn't seen the Clone Wars yet, so he just picked Darth Maul because he's cool. But what I love about Darth Maul, which we then pointed out to Sammy, is that I don't think he's ever won anything. He's a character that, like, every single time he shows up, he just loses.
He won the Darksaber briefly.
Yeah, and then lost it.
And then lost it. Very quickly.
Immediately. In one arc.
This film, I feel, has a shield around it. I feel it always
a
will.
Big blue energy shield.
Yeah, a big blue one, because it falls under, oh, well, it's Star Wars. And look at all the things that came after it, and look how it expanded the franchise again. And look how it was so successful.
I'm not sure this film did that, though. I think Attack of the Clones did that.
No, I think you look at the money that this one brought in, and particularly the toy, and again, the toys, and the merchandise.
Also, this film made for one of the best scenes in space, when he yells the kid out of the comic book shop for trying to buy a...
I think he said space. Space. And it's like, have you seen Edgar Wright speak about that? It's like, season one is a pre-Phantom Menace season. Season two is a post-Phantom Menace season. Yeah. And there is a cultural difference in the writing. The characters are more hateful because they're more bitter towards Star Wars.
I think you can't turn around on the prequels until you've seen Revenge of the Sith. So that must have been a rough 6 years.
We'll get to that one.
Shall we talk about a movie that, on one hand, is better because there's more happening in it, but on the other hand, is worse because they should have known better? Attack of the Clones. A lot of people's least favourite, would you say, is a fair thing to say?
Yeah, because it's dreadful.
Yeah. I think people say it's their least favourite because it's...
No, I tell you why. Again. No, I'll tell you why it's probably people's least favourite. It's because this film got a very big DVD release, okay? And Phantom Menace was released on video, which means I'd say that for young people, or people who were young at the time, had more of a chance of watching Phantom Menace as a kid,
yeah,
than Attack of the Clones, just because how readily available it was on VHS. And a lot of people had already seen Phantom Menace and gone, I'm not going to watch the sequel to that because it's probably just more crap.
Yeah. Thing is, though, there's two movies in this movie. One, I think, is a fantastic Star Wars film, and it's about Obi-Wan, Jedi Knight, doing this like detective story, mystery hunt to find a missing planet and track down Cypher Diaz's last actions and discover the clone army and then discover Count Dooku is evil and then go to Geonosis and stop the Sith.
He had to get a child.
The Jedi Council chat to him and he fights Jango Fett.
He had to get a child to tell him that maybe it's hidden.
But no, I look at all of that and I think that is an awesome movie. And then I look at the other half of this movie, which is Anakin and Padme having the least chemistry in cinematic history.
Why did they put the horny space wizard, who they knew was horny about the princess or the queen or the senator. She's a senator. I can't do anything. I'm a senator. Why did they put them together? What are the Jedi Council doing? How about send 5 Jedi with her?
Also,
send
like,
5
the setup of this movie.
You want to defend her? You have hundreds of Jedi standing around doing fuck all. Send 5 of them.
Send 5, yeah. The setup of this movie is, people want to assassinate Padme. And in the movie, we see 2 assassination attempts. One is they blow up her spaceship when she's landing, but it's a fake. And the other is...
No!
Hold on. Palpatine hires Count Dooku to kill Padme, who hires Jango Fett to kill Padme, who hires the Changeling to kill Padme, who gets a robot to kill Padme, who sends a worm in to kill Padme.
Just shoot her or something.
Just walk up and go, bang. Just get Cad Bane to do it.
But here's the thing. I mean, why? Did they shoot her because she wouldn't give powers to the Senate, isn't it? Is that what it is? But Jar Jar Binks does it anyway. Because
yeah,
he has the power to do it. Why?
When Jar Jar Binks completely ruins the Star Wars universe, because they go to him and they say, Jar Jar, you have emergency powers just for now. So what he does is his first action is, I'm going to give emergency powers to that guy. Give it to the fucking Emperor. What an idiot. These movies did have a good sense, though, to have a less Jar Jar with each movie.
Yeah, I mean, he's just sad in the third one. He's just...
He doesn't get a single line in the
third one. Is he in the third one?
He doesn't get a single line.
He's walking behind Padme, dead.
Oh God, he's a bad character, isn't he? He makes bad decisions. His design is bad.
You know what, though?
The dialogue they give him is not funny at all.
You know what? He's not that bad in The Clone Wars. Again, it's one of those things where he's handled with a little bit more care.
His episodes aren't the best.
They're not the best, but he's not... there's one episode where they mistake him for a Jedi Knight, and it's quite funny.
Bomba Jedi.
I love Bomba Jedi because they actually make him not an idiot.
Right, I just feel bad for Ahmed Best, the guy that plays him, because that guy's like really talented and a huge fan of Star Wars, and then like he got stuck with this character, and like it must have been so big for him when he got told he was going to be in Star Wars, and then they gave him this character. And, like, his life afterwards was just horrible.
Yeah, history repeated itself 20 years later as well with another character. No, right, so, Attack of the Clones, okay? My problem with the Attack of Clones is, again, I don't like any of the characters, including Obi-Wan, okay? I don't think it portrays Obi-Wan in a very good way. First of all, we don't see Anakin and Obi-Wan together. Not really. They share an elevator ride, and then they're split up. Great. So... All this, he was a good friend of mine. Right? No, we were. I was his master. Fight, look at all this.
Yeah,
and he goes, no, we barely see them together. And in this film, Obi-Wan says, I don't trust the boy. Oh, wait, so they have such a strong connection that he doesn't trust the boy. And Obi-Wan has to go to children to get the idea that where the planets are, maybe he should go look there. If he just went...
Lost a planet, Master if he just has. How embarrassing
if
it
you
is.
If you cut that scene out and he just goes there, it shows intuition at least.
Oh, do you know what, though? There is a hilarious part of that investigation. And it's when he goes to Dexter Jet's diner. And you get Dexter Jet, who is like this like four-armed, like gross alien. After George Lucas's son. He wanted to name an alien after his son, and that's the one he went for.
So Obi-Wan, I can't stand. Okay, and I don't like him. And people,
I don't like him in this.
I
like Obi-Wan.
He's not.
I love like. He's got like the best action scenes in the prequels. He's so funny, but like he's so like set in like. He's got his Jedi ways, but also like he's actually a good person, unlike a lot of the others. I really like him.
I find it weird that they make such an emphasis of all these species are important and like coincide with another, and then you've got the Geonosians who just get mauled down, like they're literally faceless like animals in this, where they're clearly a civilized society sort of, and they just get mowed down by Jedi constantly, and you're like, these are the Jedis who value life and like respect.
Let's
all
not forget that Geonosia fight also has another of like the least funny bits in Star Wars, and it's
what is it when
C-3PO getting his head put on the droid.
Well, it's not the only beheading.
The whole
it's not
fight.
The only beheading of that scene as well.
No. Jango Fett gets beheaded.
Anakin and Padme. The worst thing I think of all Star Wars.
I'm haunted by the kiss I never should have given
it's,
you.
It's unwatchable. He goes on a genocidal side quest. Which makes no sense. Is that the inner Darth Vader coming out? Well, what about the retributions for it? Literally, the whole of we see the whole of the Jedi world.
Not just the men, but the women.
We see
and
the whole
children.
Jedi world feel it when he does it, and they're like, "Yeah, maybe we should kick him out the order." Oh, before that, why is Shmi Skywalker still a slave? Just buy her out. You have money. It just doesn't make any sense.
But the Jedi are assholes. They wouldn't let him because they're not supposed to have like attachments, are they?
It would be good if all this stuff was challenged. Individuals are never challenged in this. The concept of the Jedi, yeah, it looks rubbish when you look on it from the outside and you watch the films. But within the world, people are going, apart from Palpatine, who does it for political gain, people are going, why do they take kids? Like, even in the Clone Wars, people are like, yes, we need to fight. And then you get more of the clones going... Why are we fighting? And then, it, And it's not really addressed that well in the Clone Wars either.
I know, because I think the Clone Wars have a lot of good episodes of, like, giving you, like, a separatist character that our main character has to spend some time with to see, like, oh, they're also, like, just fighting for, like, what they believe.
So, something I've never understood, and we've covered this a bit in the Phantom Menace, is why, like, we know it's the Sith behind it, really, but why is the Trade Federation fighting the clone? Are they just, like, is it like if Hermes or, like, Royal Mail just decided they weren't
going
to do their job anymore?
Trade. No, you want trade. You're a Trade Federation.
You're a Trade Federation.
You just get another Trade Federation or a different, like, company to do it, surely. You don't need a war over
it. It's instigated by Palpatine, I guess. And there's turmoil in the Galactic Republic.
Yeah, I know it's all, like, a front, but...
What do you think of Attack of the Clones, Jack?
You didn't finish it the last time we watched it.
The last time I watched it, I couldn't finish it. But... I'm the same with you. I like the stuff with Obi-Wan. I think Jango Fett's cool.
Jango Fett is so much cooler than Boba Fett.
I think the armor is really sick.
Also, Kamino as a planet is just awesome.
Yeah. I like the whole stuff of, like, you know, the ship-to-ship combat thing and the cool little bomb that he has and Slave One. I would have liked to have seen more Jango Fett because he's meant to be like this master bounty hunter. And like you say at the start, he hires someone else straight away who hires someone else who hires someone else who hires someone else. It's a bit of a shame. But
he's got two guns.
And the montage with Anakin and Padme.
When he gets fucking run over by that cow.
And he's like force lifting like the football, or
he uses the force to like cut the pair in half with a knife, and then it's like, don't let Obi-Wan see me doing this. Why not?
I can compliment this film slightly. I think that at least Obi-Wan, Anakin, Padme, even the two droids we're with, at least they're like different at the end. Like, at least they develop during this film. I think that Obi-Wan does become more, like, he becomes more loyal to the Jedi in a way. Like, he moves away from Qui-Gon's teachings. Like, no, we're about to start a war, and we need to fight for the Jedi. And then you got Anakin and Padme, who are more doubtful. And, do you know what I mean? Like, at least there's something there. The lightsaber fight is sacrilege as well.
Yeah, it's
worth
the
talking about
close, the close-ups of Christensen and Lee's face glowing blue and red and green. And then they have the gall. The whole point of Yoda is that size matters not. The power doesn't come from how good you are with a lightsaber. It's nothing to do with the Force. You might be blessed with it because of the Force, but he is a powerful being because he's one with the Force. And they make him do spins. It looks awful.
I think
completely...
you get one of the coolest shots in Star Wars in that scene when he walks into the room like limping, then he like opens his coat and like gets the lightsaber with the Force.
Yeah,
then you get the rubbish fire.
Yeah, but the greatest Jedi of all time is just a guy who does flips with a lightsaber. Where's the power in that?
I guarantee though, Reese, if you were to go into an American cinema when that happened, it would have been like Avengers Endgame.
Yeah, but then
everyone's like,
but then
cheering.
You take a step back and you go, hang on. The whole point is that Luke goes to Dagobah looking for this grand warrior, and he comes across this little hermit, and then it's revealed that he's the great warrior, and it's like, even in those scenes when he's old, you can tell he's a great warrior because of his wisdom and because of the power he holds, not because he can do flips and cool stuff.
What they could have done with the fight, if they really wanted a Yoda fight, is Yoda doesn't even ignite a lightsaber. He just has a stick. And he just keeps dodging. A bit like in the newer films with Luke, where he's just like dodging all of the hits, but it's actually Yoda's actually there. And he just like keeps hitting him with the stick or something.
I don't think a Yoda fight is a bad idea, because there's a much better one in the next film. I think it's just that this one is really bad. Because Christopher Lee, also, at this point in his career, couldn't do a good lightsaber fight.
No, because his CGI face is just horrible. Yeah. But no, but here's the thing, right? Because you've got the setup there.
you've got someone who was a very powerful and devoted Jedi who's turned to the Sith Lord, turned to a Sith. And so what he sees that is he sees that his entire his entire symbol for power is how well he can kill other people. And that forms in your lightsaber, you know, whereas and that should be the counter to Yoda. Whereas Yoda's like, no, I'm all for peace. I don't fight, but I'm one with the Force, so I'm going to beat you. You know, I feel that's always missed. There's always this obsession with the lightsaber.
How would you have liked to have seen that conflict resolved, if not in like a fight then? Because I'm assuming Yoda would still turn.
He would
up,
overpower right? him with the Force.
He'd just like pick him up and chuck him.
Not even
the wall
that.
Say, yeah?
The Force is more than that, Jack. It's all around us, Jack. It's all around us.
He uses the power of diplomacy.
Be more creative. This is George Lucas.
Here's though.
But I'm not going to come up with a solution. But someone else
George
be more
Lucas
creative.
Just wanted to sell a smaller lightsaber toy that 4-year-olds could use instead of 8-year-olds.
Yeah, 4-year-olds who can do flips.
4-year-olds who do flips. Yeah, exactly. That's why he has a small lightsaber.
This movie does have similar issues to Phantom Menace, but here's why I think it's a better movie. There's more happening the whole time. Phantom Menace has nothing happen for 2 hours, then it puts it all in at the end. This has 2 or 3 plot lines. It's got more characters. Everyone's got a goal. There's like the jokes are funnier. There's action scenes all the way through instead of just at the end, and most of them pretty solid.
There's a point at the start where it's just a shot of Coruscant. You're like, whew, someone's worked very hard at that. Someone's made that look very good. I was impressed by the look of the film mainly.
I look at the action scenes in this, and I think most of them are pretty good. The car chase is fun.
Yeah.
The Obi-Wan versus Jango Fett we've already spoken about is very fun. I think the last fight this is bad. I think Geonosis is fun. I think the arena is a really fun fight. The conveyor belt is sort of nonsense.
I'm pretty sure this is one of the first films fully shot on digital as well, which is quite something. And again, I think the use of colour in this. I know I criticised the lightsaber fight, but it does look all right.
Yeah, well, there's no motion in the camera.
No, but there is a better example of that is the Dust Bowl. The Dust Bowl at the end where the clones and the droids are shooting at each other, and you've got the Dust Bowl and you've got you got like a really gritty shine on the droids and they're lighting up because of the blast. That's quite a nice shot. I actually think George Factory looks pretty good. I think there's quite a rustic feel to it, particularly when
cracking Lego.
When what's his name's flying around R2-D2, it's quite a nice bit of detail to it. Again, yeah. I like comp, and I should say this with Phantom Menace is that there's a lot of money thrown at this, which means they got a lot of talented people to do the stuff around the shit story. So at least you can sit back and go, that looks pretty nice. I appreciate that bit of work. Don't like the guy in charge because he's ruining it. But I can appreciate that people put a lot of hours. And, you know, bad CGI never means that someone's done something badly. It means that they haven't been given enough time to do it. I look at this and think, there isn't much bad CGI in this at all. Like, or there isn't much bad artistry in this. Not really. I think it's a very good-looking film.
It's all in the script.
One thing I do like is Mace Windu in this film. Purple lightsaber, pretty cool. And Sammy Jackson, I think. I don't connect Sammy Jackson.
Jack, can you tell me something about the character of Mace Windu?
Cool.
He's just cool. He's the head of the Jedi Council.
Sometimes it doesn't need a lot of depth, Reese. They can just be cool.
Is he powerful?
Yeah, he's powerful. They regularly cool. say, don't they? He's the like most. He's just the strongest Jedi.
When?
Is what they
Who say,
say
that?
Like,
yeah. It's like he has like a different fighting style or something where he dances
he
between the dark
the
and the light
episode
and stuff.
Of the original Clone Wars show, like the one with like the Samurai Jack art style. He gets an episode where he's just dropped in like a big desert surrounded by super battle droids without his lightsaber and he just kicks all their asses with just his fist and it's great. It's the best ever.
Yeah.
What's weird about Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones is there's a lot of memes in them, but there's less than half the memes of the prequels came from those two. Even though the one that all the memes came from is the good one.
Yeah.
Revenge of the Sith rules. I fucking love Revenge of the Sith. It's one of my favourite Star Wars films. I think there are some faults, maybe, with the acting. And I think that it's a shame that the trilogy never actually finds anything for Padme to do.
She cries. She loses the will to live
as a child. But I think it's a pretty awesome film. I think the planet's awesome. I think you get loads of stuff with the Jedi. I think it really on like making Anakin's turn like make sense and be sympathetic until he murders all the children. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But like it like does a really good job in this one of going like, here's how someone might look badly on the Jedi Order because they suck. And like it does really well in that. So you buy Anakin's turn. You get the most just Palpatine being Palpatine in this one of the whole like franchise, and it's great. I think Hayden Christensen, he's better in this than people give him credit for. The action's very cool. Again, there's just loads going on. What about the droid attack on the Wookiees?
More than that, it starts with Anakin and Obi-Wan on a swashbuckling adventure to save someone from a heavily guarded ship. So not just the stuff they told us. Oh, this is what we did off film. They're actually showing it to us. And Obi-Wan and Anakin come across as, one, friends, two, people who like each other and who work well together, and a master who's suddenly realizing that his apprentice probably doesn't need a master anymore. Like, there's actual progression within that first act. Yeah. That first act is Anakin has outgrown Obi-Wan. He's not only is he more powerful than Obi-Wan now, he's literally more wise. He's better at combat stuff, and he can get shit done on his own.
I don't know about more wise.
He's smart enough to beat Christopher Lee.
I mean, yeah, but then he kills him.
Do it.
Yeah, but do you know what I mean? Like, he's
moving. Not the Jedi.
He's moving away from. He's moving away from the need to have a master in this.
Well, going back to the acting, Mike. Do you think, like, this is probably one of the earlier films where there was a lot of blue screen, green screen stuff? Maybe actors weren't quite used to it yet.
I think the issue is in the direction. Because you look at some of the behind the scenes, and like you'll see Hayden Christensen give this like awesome take. Then George Lucas will be like, do it again, but campier. And like, he was doing it well. That's why when you look at like his facial performance, and, like, his physical performance, it's excellent. Because like, look at the physical turn in him from Anakin to Darth Vader. Like, and he does it so well. The issue is that like, he's been given dialogue that's...
Arse.
We all know it.
Like, the rapid descent for me of Anakin makes sense in this. It's completely in line with his character. You know, Anakin's always been selfish.
And it makes
sense he always believes that he deserves more than he got. And I'm not a massive... The rank of master, blah, blah, blah. That's a bit silly.
It's outrageous.
But the main thing is he got disrespected by the council. And you know, in Phantom we see him exceed his oppressed upbringing, and then in Attack we see that all he cares about is his own interests, like getting Padme, saving his mother, and then his constant call to be a Jedi Master and become more powerful for his own gain is like replicated here. And the juvenile nature of Anakin, I'd say, teamed with the sinister Palpatine, like convinces me that he would turn to the dark side.
Yeah, Anakin in Attack of the Clones is like, I think everyone would agree, the weak link of the film, but
petty.
Like, but overall, the trilogy does a really good job with Anakin's arc, like turning him into Darth Vader.
Yeah.
You could buy it because you look at Darth Vader and people like saw this and went, "Oh, they turned Darth Vader into a whiny teen." But look at Darth Vader in the original trilogy; he was always a whiny bastard. Like,
yeah,
like he's not the main bad guy. The originals, he's like an underling, and he was always like whiny and complaining. And like Darth Vader is cool; he's much cooler, like Anakin. But, like, they do the transition well.
I'd say that has the opposite problem to he's too young in Phantom. I say that he's probably too old in Attack of the Clones because he's portrayed like this, like, man-child. It's like, he reminds me of, like, Will Ferrell in Elf. Like, he's just like a kid who's in an adult's body. Like, if you're going to make him that inexperienced and rash, I think he needed to be a little bit younger.
Maybe, like, 14, 15 would have been a better age.
Yeah, and make Padme more his age. Make them actual, like, friends.
or make them have a connection that isn't, oh, you look like an angel. What?
Or think you look fit, love. You... I like the way you look.
Here's where this movie excels far over the other two. And it's that
you're my cup of tea, you are.
Instead of coming across, just like, instead of coming across like cringy, the emotion in this actually lands. Like, early on, you buy Anakin and Obi-Wan as friends and allies. Then when like Obi-Wan's like telling Anakin how proud of him he is, you feel it. And then when Anakin like is being like manipulated by Palpatine, you feel it. Like, you feel bad for Anakin. Then when he turns, you feel sad for him. Then that final fight between Obi-Wan and Anakin, which is my favorite scene in the whole franchise because it's awesome.
You know,
it's like you feel like the heartbreak of like both of them, and you can see where they're both coming from in it. And I think just it's a prequel where the emotion actually is there, which it could have been in all.
It's crazy saying this, but Game of Thrones could have learned something from the prequels here. With like descent into like evil madness, because it is that you see it like from episode 2 all the way through episode 3, you see him turning and you can see that he's vulnerable. But with Game of Thrones, it's like, you know, like that, and it's done well here.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, when Padme shows up on Mustafar, Leia starts to strangle her. Yeah. It's like, I can see where this is coming from, because he's been corrupted and he can't see past his own desires.
To the Republic, to democracy.
And you know, with like when he like strangles her, like he could just like snap her neck right there if he wanted to, but he's still like, you know, he's so emotionally torn at that point. Like he probably knows what he's doing is wrong, but he's going.
It would appear that in your anger you killed her.
Yeah, he's so torn. Yeah. He knows what he's doing is wrong. I know you said like killing the kids is like stupid, but if you think about it, they're just gonna grow up and be Jedi, right?
No, they're not, Jack. No, they're not, because they got killed.
Exactly. Well, that's why they did it.
Master Anakin, there's too many of them. What are we going to do?
It's there to show that he's crossed that line.
Yeah.
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 I saw a holocaust footage of him killing younglings.
Younglings. Stroking his hair.
And could he perhaps be evil?
There's good in him. I don't want good in him anymore. He's just killed a load of sorry, if someone killed a load of kids in real life, we gotta find the good in him. No! Kill him!
Obi-Wan suggesting that he can take on Palpatine.
Let me on him!
But I love that when, like, when he says that, Yoda's like, no! Obviously you can't! You're an idiot!
Yeah.
Go get Anakin! I'm gonna do Palpatine!
I've just thought of something, Jack. To your question earlier on. Because it relates to Palpatine. The whole thing, just because you're really powerful, doesn't mean you should have a lightsaber and do flips everywhere. The novelization of the scene where of the bit where the 3-4 Jedi attack or go to arrest Palpatine is so much more immersive than what we get.
Yeah.
I think that scene is rubbish. It looks really bad because they've got these people in these really clunky costumes. They can hardly move with their robes on. Then you've got like.
Which is why it becomes a better fight when it's just.
But not that much better, because you've got a guy with a CGI face doing flips and stuff everywhere, and it just looks, and then close-ups of Ian McDermott going,
you can see
perfect impression there.
But you can see in that Hayden Christensen's face alone, you can see the moment when he realizes that I are bad, because he's at the start of the film, he's saying, you can't just execute people, it's not the Jedi way, it's not what we do. Then that scene, Mace Windu is there, and he's too dangerous to be kept alive. We've got to kill him. And you see it on Anakin's face. He's like, oh, okay.
Oh, so you're
you
a shit.
You guys are bad guys then.
The novelization version describes it as like when Palpatine decides to activate, Darth Vader decides to activate himself to defeat these people. They describe him as sort of like a cloud of mist. He's moving so quickly and he's so fierce in his hatred and movement that they have no counter to it, that they don't even It's like before they can even move, they're dead. He's got all this power, and he's so one with the dark side of the Force that he can basically attach himself to so much power of the Force that he's basically unstoppable. And it takes someone as powerful as Mace Windu to counter him.
I'm too weak. No, 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 you will not.
And I think that you could have something very similar with Yoda, that he's so in one with the Force that whatever Christopher Lee does regarding the Force, even attacking him with a lightsaber, because it comes from a place of defense, you can't even lay a finger on him.
What I think is also amazing about the Mace Windu and Palpatine fight is the amount of theories that come out of who actually won. Like, was Mace Windu actually able to overpower him, or did he let himself lose because he had this plot to, he knew Anakin was going to turn up and he had this plot?
Temuera Morrison has said he would like a season 2 of Boba Fett hunting down Mace Windu after that, and I think that would be a cool season, getting like an old Mace Windu who's really jaded because of this.
Did you not see what an old Boba Fett was like? Fucking hell.
Yeah, but I know that Samuel L. Jackson's still cool.
Did you not watch the film we watched yesterday?
No,
Barely Lethal. He's so dead in it.
Bad in Barely Lethal. Like, we can't count that.
I can, because I've seen what... bad writing does to him.
You could make Mace Windu, like, now he's all jaded and stuff, very Sammy J. Just like with all the swears and stuff that he does.
Star Wars' first F-bomb. This movie's got a lot of action because it's like, this is the only movie, live action movie we get that's in the middle of the Clone Wars. We get loads of it. Like, we get the droid attack on the Wookiees.
That's in the film.
We get the big Kashyyyk attack because Yoda's there. Order 66 is like an amazing scene. There's General Grievous, we haven't even mentioned.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't do anything, but he's cool.
I don't like General Grievous.
But he's got four lightsabers, and he just spins them.
Yes!
There's an amazing scene there. And I know the whole internet knows about it, but we're going to talk about it anyway. And like every time you watch it, you spot something new that's just like the perfect stupid. Like Obi-Wan is like, what's my plan? Okay, I'm going to jump down and say hello there. And that's my entire plan. And then you notice there's two droids in the background. Like when Obi-Wan lands, you notice there's like two droids in the background carrying crates. And like one of them drops the crates, like nudges the other one with his like elbow. look what's going on over there. And then like, General Grievous is like, I've been trained in the Jedi arts by your master Count Dooku. And then he gets out four lightsabers and spins them around. Count Dooku has just said to him, like, so what you want to do is you want to get your lightsaber. You want to go...
what's great as well about General Grievous is he can't use the Force, right? And like the whole thing about Jedi's not being able to force each other is because they have like a protective barrier or something. He could just like push him around and pick him up and throw him all over the place if he wanted to.
I mean, he does.
Another fine addition to my collection.
Just forces them back.
Yeah, he just grabs them out of his hand.
I love one of my like top Obi-Wan quips is when he shoots him and then throws the gun away, he's like so uncivilized. It was great. I love that. And then he's on his big dragon turtle.
Awesome stuff.
This is the most Star Wars movie. You know, like when I think Star Wars in my head, like my head goes
it's
here.
It's got so many memes. That's why it's just so embedded in our culture.
I have brought peace, justice, freedom, and security to my new empire. Your new empire. If you're not with me, then you're against me. Only a Sith deals in absolutes.
Hello there.
I'll do what I must. You will try.
Look at all these vehicles we can make into Lego and sell.
I feel like this is more of a jab at capitalism here.
That's what makes it the most Star Wars. It's the most merchandisable.
Yeah, but Reese, we keep buying them.
Yeah, I know.
I could from here reach so many pieces of Star Wars merchandise without even barely moving.
Yeah.
I've got a Han Solo pop vinyl looking at me right now.
I've got three Rays.
It's not prequels, though.
Three Ray pop vinyls, one from each film.
I can see some pure Himalayan black salt. There we go. That's all I can spot.
Not from Star Wars.
Straight from Mustafar.
Yeah.
That was a cool fight. Like, the dumb bit is when they're, like, both, like, spinning their lightsabers around in front of them, not hitting each other, to, like, power up their next hit.
Anakin, the Chancellor is evil. From my point of view, the Jedi are evil. And you are lost.
This trilogy is cynical, right? It is. From all angles. But, I mean, I don't really care. Okay, I don't care that they're bad.
Awesome.
Because they're films that came out, 17 years ago now? 18 years ago? Not affecting my life. I know there's a lot of people who grew up, like ourselves, watching this and liking them, and they are an introduction to Star Wars. Do not tell me that a 6 to 7 to 8 year old will not be hooked by Star Wars.
No, they'll love them. Because we were. We were hooked by these films.
After seeing Jar Jar Binks. Jar Jar Binks, he's a rubbish character. When you're 8, he's funny. Just is. He gets electrocuted.
But he can jump really high in the Lego game.
Yeah, but not anymore, because he's not a woman in the Lego games now. Only women can jump really high now. Barbara Gordon, do you mind getting up there for me? I can't reach. Don't worry, Batman.
You don't need that anymore. You got Superman, you can fly.
Yeah. So these are, and then you got the Clone Wars, and you got Rebels after.
Here's the thing about these, like, a lot of people really hate them, but, and I've already said I liked them. I know I've said the bad points, but I know I've mostly defended them. But here's the thing: every time I rewatch Star Wars, I start here, and I never watch them thinking, "Oh, I have to get these out of the way, and then I'm onto the good Star Wars."
I do.
I am. I'm in Star Wars now. It's not like when I'm rewatching the MCU and I'm like, oh, Iron Man 3, I've got to get this out of the way. And then I can Winter Soldier.
It's only you who doesn't like Iron Man 3.
Yes, correct. And it's only me who likes the prequel.
Well, I think something to consider as well is, you know, the story's dumb, but I think 2 and 3 are entertaining.
And so entertaining that you finished it.
All right. That one time I didn't finish it, okay? I have seen
no matter which way
you
I like Revenge of the Sith,
They are entertaining, and it doesn't always matter if, you know, it doesn't have the best story or the dialogue is terrible and stuff. If it's entertaining, it's kind of, you know, still a good film.
It's a good social film.
It's fun to watch, yeah.
Great social film. All the time in uni, just stick it on. Watch different dubs of it. Watch the Chinese dub. It's hilarious. Watch like the watch the version where all the deaths are intercut by the Lego deaths. Like, they do the whole film, and then every time someone dies, they cut to the Lego death. Oh, it's brilliant.
The new Lego game is so funny. There's like a bit where like baby Anakin is saying something like really evil, and the slaver guy is in the back going, "Anyone want a red flag?" He's selling like red flags.
Hey, what a
red
flag. What am I, death sticks?
You don't want to sell me death sticks. I don't want to sell you death sticks. You want to go home and think your life.
We defeated drugs right there in that film.
I love that. The Star Wars universe is the least subtle thing in the world. I love it in the Star Wars universe. What, cigarettes? No. Death sticks.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Okay, they did it in Clone Wars. They did it to death in Clone Wars. They explored this sort of area, this sort of timeline. And they do it in a... I mean, they take the dumb politics stuff and, like, put it to the side. They just turn it into, like, no, we gotta win these planets so we can hold positions and win more planets and defeat the Separatists. And you're like, the more you grow up, you go, yeah, but are the Separatists really that bad? Like, they don't want their trade getting stuffed over by the tax of the Galactic Republic. The Republic is collapsing because it's got really old monks who can't keep it together, and it's literally just too big. And here's not my problem. It's not really a problem. Here's what I don't like about the sequels is that they can't even establish a competent setup to the world. I have no idea what's going on at the start of Force Awakens. And by the time it's ended, I still have no idea where did we start in Force Awakens, and where did we finish in Rise of Skywalker? Like, how has the universe changed? Whereas in this, it's quite clear that there was an established hierarchy that was failing, and by the time you reach it, you reach the end, it's been taken over by someone really evil because it was weak, and that turned into the maniacal imperialist empire that followed. It's really clear. You can go from Phantom Menace to Revenge of the Sith and go, yes, the stuff in between, fuck, some of it is awful, but at least it's one clear narrative. It's really clear how you get from the first film to the last film and how it connects to the rest of it. I don't get that. And even with stuff like The Mandalorian and Boba Fett, I'm still really confused at where the universe is. I don't know what's happening. You start The Mandalorian and Boba Fett. What situation is the universe in?
They're not greater stories, though, are they? They're not universe-defining stories. They're people living in it.
Hang on. They are fast becoming that. What's the situation in the universe right now? And that's my and that's what I really liked about Visions, is that it was bold enough to go really far away, either far into the future, far into the past, or they tell stories of the Star Wars universe as if they're myth and legend, and you were told thousands of light years away, or thousands of parsecs away, and they don't know, like it's like a distorted story. It adds colour to it, because it makes it feel alive. Like, this is... Everyone heard about the Empire taking over, even in a different galaxy where it doesn't affect them, but they heard different versions of it because of how it spilled out. I get none of that in the Star Wars we're getting now. It just, and I get that that's not the point of The Mandalorian. It's fast becoming. But then we got, I don't know if you've seen Boba Fett, but certain people turn up, and I'm like, what are they doing? Why are they building this? And then, because we already know by the end, it's going to get destroyed. Where is this all fitting in? Why is he turned away from there? Where is he coming? I literally don't know where the start of the universe, what sort of state we're in at the start. Unlike these ones, which, very simplistic, you've got a Galactic Republic that's falling down, and by the end it's fallen down. I don't get that sort of simplicity anyway, or understandability. An 8-year-old can understand, here's the power, falls to someone bad, they take over, and then eventually in Return of the Jedi, that bad power is destroyed. I don't think an 8-year-old can understand where the universe is at the start of Force Awakens. Explain it to them. Who's in charge? This Republic. Can we see them? No. Who the First Order?
We will get into that in our episode.
I know.
Sequels.
But for now, we'll end. And I'm going to force you all to do this and build on top of it with each Star Wars episode we do.
Force us,
We're going to start a ranking.
I'll get mine up.
Of the things, and we're going to add as we go. So best to worst, I think it's obvious I'm going Revenge of the Sith, Attack of the Clones, Phantom Menace. But obviously that'll change around a bit when we do the original trilogy next. Jack?
Yeah, it's 3-2-1, isn't it? Easy.
Which is great, because when we get it's 5-4-3-2-1 when you get up to Empire.
Yeah, I've got Attack of the Clones as worse than Phantom Menace. But they're like equally shit. They're like, if I have to put one at the bottom, it's Attack of the Clones. But yeah, they're both really bad. And then you've got Revenge of the Sith, which is miles better than both of them.
Revenge of the Sith is... It's actually unbelievable how good Revenge of the Sith is. So I like the Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones, but Revenge of the Sith is very, very good. Do you know what's cool? Star Wars